From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, August 26th. I'm Abby Larico. Today, we finally see the SLPS closures plan, opening comments for data center rules, and you'll hear plenty of advocacy against pet breeding, adopt, don't shop, but some breeders in St. Louis say there are reasons for the practice, and if done responsibly, it can be a good thing.
I really hope that people are open to learning about things before they spout off stuff they don't know anything about.
Still, animal welfare advocates say even ethical breeding can have its drawbacks. We'll get into it coming up on The Gateway. A new plan from St. Louis Public Schools looks to close fewer schools than originally put forth. STLPR's Hiba Ahmed attended the district's school board meeting last night and has this report.
SLPS is looking to close 14 schools. That's down from about 20 it had initially planned to shut down by next year. Most of them are elementary schools. 11 are proposed for closure and are spread out across the city. One middle school and two popular high schools, Clyde C. Miller and McKinley, would stop enrolling new students next year and be phased out completely by 2030. The plan is estimated to save the district more than $23 million through cuts to staffing and transportation. But that doesn't account for cost associated with reconfiguring buildings to accommodate more students and staff. The district will now present the preliminary plan to the public, and the school board will vote on it in mid-October. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can find a full list of the school's proposed foreclosure at stlpr.org. Police in DeSoto are investigating after they say someone intentionally damaged a Flock safety camera near the DeSoto Athletic Complex. Authorities in the Jefferson County community say a vandal damaged the camera pole and struck the solar panels several times with unidentified projectiles. The equipment has since been repaired, and police say the camera is back up and running. Flock cameras are automated license plate readers used by law enforcement to help find stolen vehicles and investigate crimes, but critics are concerned about privacy and the collection and storage of driver data. Police have not identified a suspect or announced any arrests. A parking garage in downtown St. Louis may be demolished after falling into disrepair. As STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports, the city's land bank is eyeing knocking the garage down and replacing it with a new one.
City officials moved forward with a plan that could lead to the demolition of a long-vacant parking garage at Locust and Tucker during a meeting of the Land Clearance for Reutilization Authority yesterday afternoon. The city contracted with CDG engineers to survey the site and determine the scope of services for a possible demolition. The city took custody of the property in 2022 after a tax sale. St. Louis Development Corporation Deputy Executive Director Rob Orr says the structure has fallen into disrepair.
We believe that it is beyond salvation. It has been vacant for 12 years. It was in bad shape when it was closed down. It's been shored up for all this time.
The city is also seeking parking consultants to study the feasibility of building a new parking garage in place of the current structure. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County Executive Sam Page is encouraging people to comment on proposed zoning regulations for data centers in unincorporated parts of the county. The Planning Commission outlined its limits on where the centers can be built on August 10th, and the county is accepting emailed input at datacentercomments@stlouiscountymo.gov until August 31st. They'll be presented to the commission in October. Any regulations would also need approval of the St. Louis County Council, which has its own public comment process. The county's working on these data center regulations for parts of the region under its zoning jurisdiction, though no plans for a data center there have been made public. Belleville's police chief has died of cancer. As STLPR's Will Bauer reports, Matt Eiskant was 49 years old.
Belleville City Council named Eiskant the chief in 2022. In February this year, he went on light duty to undergo treatment. The Belleville News-Democrat reports he died Monday. Acting Chief Mark Heffernan says Eiskant devoted his life to the department and to Belleville. He also says Eiskant was not only a chief, but a friend, mentor, and leader. Eiskant graduated from Belleville East High School in 1995 and studied sociology and criminal justice at Lindenwood University in St. Charles. He started at the Belleville Police Department in 2001. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The city of Delwood has announced succession plans after the sudden death of Mayor Reggie Jones. He had served as mayor since his election in 2013. Board of Aldermen President Kenneth Robinson will now temporarily take on the duties as mayor until the full board nominates Jones's successor on September 28th. Delwood City Administrator Terry Wilson says that interim mayor will serve until the April 2027 municipal elections.
In the April election, I mean, it was going to happen anyway. So there will be no special election. The appointed mayor would take over the role and finish out the year.
Because Delwood has a council city manager form of government, the mayor doesn't have day-to-day responsibilities overseeing city services. Platypus is a bar that has received a lot of attention and accolades ever since it opened in the Grove. Now it's asking patrons to help it stay open after a co-owner pleaded guilty to racking up tens of thousands of dollars in credit card charges in his partner's name. Tony Saputo pleaded guilty this week in U.S. District Court in St. Louis to opening an American Express card while a co-owner, identified as M.B., was out of the country. He made nearly $30,000 worth of charges, including personal expenses to pay a car loan and rent. As part of a plea deal, he has given up his stake in the bar and is scheduled to be sentenced December 1st. Saputo opened Platypus in 2021 with noted local mixologist Meredith Berry. She's holding a gala fundraiser in October to support the business. Amid a massive tropical storm in Guam this summer, scientists rescued 34 endangered tree snails. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports the snails are now at just one zoo in the world, the St. Louis Zoo.
Stronger and more frequent typhoons, paired with new predators like flatworms, have almost wiped out the Partula gibbus snails in their natural habitat in the Mariana Islands. After the snails were evacuated from Guam, St. Louis Zoo invertebrate manager Kayla Garcia met them in Hawaii and took them here in a cooler.
We were planning on getting the snails here at some point. We just didn't anticipate us having to need to act so quickly because of that emergent threat from Typhoon Bobby.
The snails are settling in and have already had about 15 babies. Eventually, Garcia says the zoo will reintroduce them in Guam. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Dog breeding has been at the center of intense debate among animal lovers for decades. And with shelters overflowing, some would argue there's even more reason to adopt your furry family member rather than to buy. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Anison Krebs Carr reports, some dog breeders in St. Louis say they breed ethically and that buying a dog isn't always a bad thing.
You can see from Moxie right now that they're pretty busy.
Val Smith said she's always been passionate about dogs. She got her first Vizslas in 1979 and immediately fell in love with the breed. It's friendly, athletic, and a beautiful color.
We started this whole thing.
Smith considers herself a hobby breeder and said she's bred Vizslas infrequently for 40 years. Now, she's on the 7th and 8th generation of her original dog. Smith says responsibly breeding means supporting the dog buyer for the rest of the dog's life. This includes helping with hereditary issues or taking the dog back if the owner has personal problems and can't care for it.
Every breeder's selling a little bit of their soul to each puppy buyer, which can get pretty intense after a while.
Smith is an American Kennel Club registered breeder. That means she has to comply with breed testing requirements and register litters. She says it's a big responsibility to breed ethically. That's why in more than 40 years, she's only had 15 litters total.
Sunny's a lot of fun, but you know, she's a year old.
Dara Ashby is with the Ferguson Animal Coalition. She says the overpopulation of shelters is mainly because of a lack of spay and neuter services and backyard breeding.
They are chained in the backyards, treated horrifically, and then when they are no longer needed, they're discarded.
Ashby says the difference between backyard and ethical breeders is that backyard breeders aren't regulated. Missouri has regulations for breeders that include space and sanitation requirements for any dog used for breeding purposes. But if you have fewer than 3 intact females, you are exempt from breeding licenses and inspection requirements. That number goes up to 5 in Illinois. Ashby thinks there is a way to breed dogs responsibly, but for some, no matter how responsibly it's done, breeding will never truly be ethical. Bonnie Boyum works at Carroll House Quick Fix Pet Clinic. She says the problem is that there are too many companion animals and not enough homes for them.
regardless of the purpose for breeding more animals, if you add more animals into the pipeline, it just makes the problem worse.
She says it's just a math problem of too many animals coming in and not enough going out. But Smith says when you're adopting, you simply don't know what you're getting.
What you're doing is you're basically following your heart. You're not doing research into anything other than you hope that it'll be a good family companion, or you hope that the dog will live, you know, 10 years or more.
The AKC does not recognize hybrid or mixed breeds, so those who do not breed purebred dogs can't be AKC registered. Kathy Owens breeds mini Bernedoodles, which is a mix between a Bernese Mountain Dog and a poodle. She says that with shelter dogs, there's no way to know if there's ever been any genetic testing or if the dogs were abused or raised in poor situations.
You know, you have to be willing to take responsibility for that and do the best that you can to provide a good home for them. Not just like, you know, tug at your heartstrings because you saw a commercial on TV about some dog that was abused and think that everybody should just buy a shelter animal.
Owen says she hopes people try and learn more about ethical breeding.
Some people are never going to change their mind, and that's okay. But, you know, I really hope that people are open to learning about things before they spout off stuff they don't know anything about.
She says the important thing to do is choose your furry friend responsibly, whether it's from a breeder or a shelter. I'm Anison Krebskar, St. Louis Public Radio.
That was Anison's last assignment with us as our summer news intern. She ended her stint in our newsroom to head back to the University of Illinois for her senior year studying journalism and animal sciences. Anison has been such an important part of our coverage this summer. We'll miss you. Thanks for sharing your talents and your passions with us. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. The music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but right now, of course, Dolly Parton. Sure, this is a local news podcast, and there's nothing all that local about the news yesterday that Dolly Parton passed away. Except, you know, in her 80 years on this planet, somehow Dolly lived in all of our hearts, almost universally. To borrow some words from fellow journalist Kyle Clark, a lot of celebrities are loved. Dolly Parton loved us back. Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a good Wednesday.